How you doing? I'm glad you're hanging out with us on a Football Wednesday. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Good show for you as the Browns are winding down training camp, almost over. Just a couple of practices left out here in Berea. They had one today. We'll be off tomorrow, back on the field Friday and Saturday. And I guess that pretty much will wrap it up. Little walkthrough on Sunday before they head out to Washington for Monday night's preseason game number 2 against the Redskins. On our show today, Billy Cundiff, the man who supplied all of the offense against the Lions, the 4 field goals that he kicked in that game. He'll join us at about 1:15. And then, of course, it's Wednesday, so it's a mailbag Wednesday. Use the hashtag mailbag when you tweet us at Browns_daily or at Vic Carucci or at Nathan Zagura. We want to hear from you. We'll interact with you, and we'll respond to those tweets at about 1:45. Mike Pettine's press conference, we'll play that for you at 2 p.m., and we'll have sound bites also from quarterbacks coach Dowell Loggins, who spoke with the media yesterday. He had a lot of interesting things to say. Nathan, I thought a little bit better practice in some ways today, although I still see some pressing by Brian Hoyer, and I don't know if that's been brought on by the fact that now Rex Grossman is here as a quarterback or not, but it just seems like there's more. He's feeling more weight on his shoulders. That's just an observation.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's a tough situation with Rex Grossman here, but really I think it should be looked at as a positive for both of these quarterbacks. You have a guy who isn't just a coach in this system, but who has played in this system at your position for years and years. I don't think in any way, shape, or form Rex Grossman coming here should be seen as a threat to Brian Hoyer. Right. I don't think he's being traded. I think that's ridiculous. I think that when you look at it, Rex Grossman's being here to help both Brian Hoyer and Johnny Manziel get up to speed and have another person who can help coach them through this offense and one who's already played in it. So I thought Brian Hoyer did some good things, though, today. Led the team down in the hurry-up offense for a touchdown on a pass to Ben Tate. Again, when it came down to the final thing for the orange jerseys, first and 10 from the 15-yard line, trying to go into the end zone. The defense got the job done again. Paul Kruger with a big sack there to set up a fourth and long. It kind of ran Joe Thomas over, as a matter of fact, on that play.
Yeah.
Did Paul Kruger. But these quarterbacks, I don't think either one of them today, and obviously we've got to go back and really watch practice, but I don't think either one of them today had a great practice. I thought they made some good throws. I thought overall the defense was probably a little bit better than the offense. There was one stretch where I thought Johnny got into a very nice rhythm today and was throwing the ball very well. He had a deep ball to Travis Benjamin, and that's really who I thought, if you're
Benjamin
saying who stood out to you today on the offensive side of the ball and got you excited a little bit, that was Travis Benjamin. And built off what it was his best day of practice as a wide receiver on Tuesday, coming in today, probably had 7 catches maybe. Yeah. It seemed like he was making every play deep and, more importantly, short. He is showing the ability to make catches in traffic on some of those slants with defensive backs right on his back. He's doing a better job of getting releases against press coverage. And he's also said that he feels that he is faster and stronger now post-ACL surgery than he was before it. I'll tell you what, we've been waiting and waiting for a receiver to step up. I thought Travis Benjamin beginning to peak. He's knocked the rust off at the right time, and he's somebody that we really haven't talked a lot about in that receiver discussion because for a while he
wasn't doing much.
Nothing. Yeah, he had shown nothing.
Dropping passes and, yeah.
I'm very excited to see if in the game on Monday he can continue what he's shown the last 2 days in camp.
No, you're right. He was definitely someone who stood out today, and I'm also beginning to come around to this thought. I think, yeah, we're judging the offense harshly, as we should. We should hold everybody to the highest possible standard. The fact that this team didn't get into the end zone from the red zone much in practice or in the family scrimmage day in Akron, and certainly not at all during last Saturday night's preseason game at Detroit, is disturbing, and it's deja vu because it's been far too many years that this team has been a bad red zone team. However, I'm coming around to the thought that this defense is really good and that maybe – practicing against this defense for this offense is the problem. That on a game-to-game basis, now I realize that was a different defense that shut him out of the end zone Saturday night. But in general, Nathan, on a day-to-day basis, I think it's a task, a pretty massive chore to have success against this defense.
It is, but I want to see it then transfer over to being able to get the job done against other defenses. So that's what we have to see, and hopefully we will see that on Monday. Yes, we want to see that. Also, you know, we haven't seen anything Josh Gordon hasn't practiced this week. We'll see what happens. The defense, I think, though, is good. And I also think there's something to be said for them knowing the plays. For example, if you go back and watch the Detroit Lions game, you saw an offense that the play action bootlegs, for example, worked incredibly well and guys were wide open. This defense has seen these play action bootlegs. They recognize them and they blow them up literally as soon as the ball is checked down. So right. I think that there's something to be said for that. We just need to see them get the job done, obviously, against another defense on Monday. I will say this, Travis Benjamin stood out for me as a wide receiver. There were a lot of drop passes as well today. I thought for both quarterbacks, Brian Hoyer especially, I thought Anthony Armstrong continues to struggle for this team, which bums me out a little bit. Great guy, and yeah. I want to see him succeed, but he seems to have kind of hit a little bit of a wall. Miles Austin had a drop today as well. You want to see this receiver group because they are not spectacular. Right. In my mind, I at least want to see them make the plays when they actually do get open and the ball is delivered to them. And that's something that's been a little bit of a problem.
I think it's a big problem. I think it's a real concern that no one in this scheme is really showing in this offensive, in this receiving core, showing enough to me that really says, hey, we can make this better even if Josh Gordon isn't here. Or even if Josh Gordon is here, compliment him. Step up and show what you can do to really make it so that this team has a fighting chance when it needs to score, when it needs to make plays, whoever the quarterback is. I think some of this quarterback competition maybe plays into that as well. Can these receivers truly get any kind of rhythm going with either guy? They throw different passes, Nathan. We know that much. And I think they both know mentally that at some point they're going to be catching more passes from one guy more than the other.
And I think I hope that this thing gets decided because I think it will be valuable for whoever is named the starting quarterback to start getting all the reps.
Right.
Or at least the vast majority. Yes. Neither one of these quarterbacks has the complete command of this offense. And I know Rex Grossman has come in, and both quarterbacks have said already that he has helped them out. But whoever's going to start needs to be totally comfortable. And I actually think you're seeing, you know, Johnny Manziel getting a lot of praise for how quickly he is picking things up. And he is. But he is not necessarily, you know, where he needs to be to start week one.
Right.
And Brian Hoyer, it seems, has plateaued and is kind of waffling a little bit on that plateau in terms of where he needs to be with the command of this offense. And so whoever ultimately the decision is, I think you're going to need to see them get out there and get more of the reps as opposed to these splits. Now, today, Brian Hoyer worked exclusively with the ones, Manziel exclusively with the twos. But at some point, you know, the reps for the threes are going to go away.
Right, they will.
And the reps for the twos are going to be cut down significantly.
After this weekend. I mean, I know this team doesn't have to cut down until after the third game, but I think after this weekend, you're going to see a noticeable emphasis on the players who actually have the better shot of making this team, being the front and center part of the practices. And you're going to see some players released, by the way. It happens. Even though this team can wait until the third preseason game to get down to the 75 cut, they're going to start making people go away from this team after this game, and you're going to see a thinner practice setup, if you will, that's going to allow you to see whether or not this team actually has the pieces in place that it needs to be what we hope it'll be. And Dow Loggins talked about this. We're going to have the sound from him about the red zone issues. And he says the quarterbacks are a part of that, but it's not just about the quarterbacks, that everybody offensively has to chip in and make this part of the game better.
Yes, 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 yes. And it'll be the commentary from Dow Loggins, certainly good. You get a little bit of the background on what happened to him after the last time he had talked. I thought that was one of the funny things that came out about from that interview. Got the visor that said dummy on it after he kind of told the story down in Arkansas about Johnny Manziel, and the text heard around the world, as it were. I thought that was good. We're also going to hear Mike Pettine, as you talked about. And it is Mailbag Wednesday, so continue to get your questions in. Kicker Billy Cundiff, who supplied all of the offense, by the way, in the first preseason opener, will be with us at about 1:15. This is an offense that, until we see it produce, and I know the defense is good, and I know the defense has seen all the plays, et cetera, in my mind, I think until we see this offense kind of get over the hump in a game, there's going to be a reason for a lot of skepticism about it.
There really is. It has to show because of the history. That once again, Brown's history is weighing heavily on Brown's present. And the fact that this team's biggest star for the longest time was a kicker, and no disrespect to Phil Dawson, but because he carried an inordinate amount of weight as a kicker because this team couldn't score any other way. And sadly, some are seeing the similar trend, and I wrote about this on clevelandbrowns.com, and I urge you to check this out on a piece I have posted today, the Daily Kickoff. Also check out great work by Kevin Jones, the videos that my man Nathan Zagura has up there as well. There's all kinds of things for you to check out. But I have a piece up there in which I reference the history of this team basically relying far too much on a kicker for its offense, and you see it start again. The first preseason game, and Billy Cundiff's going to be on our show, but four field goals, that is not, and two of them 41-yarders, that is not what this offense can be about. I get that, you know, you may not see a quarterback, say it's Johnny Manziel early on or whoever it might be, a quarterback who's going to drive this offense, and therefore it's going to be dependent upon a lot of big plays. That's not what they're looking for, because they want to run it well. They want to play great defense, run it well, control the clock, move the chains. Still, when you're in the neighborhood of the end zone, you've got to get there and cross the goal line. You cannot be kicking field goals.
Got to finish. Kicking field goals is how you lose in the National Football League. And the one time that the Browns did finish today, something for those of you who weren't at practice that was good to see, was the hurry-up offense. They really went with it today, that up-tempo movement offense, no huddle, hurry-up, moving up down the field. And I thought Brian Hoyer did a good job in that drill, getting them down, throwing the touchdown to Ben Tate. Once they did get in the red zone, he found Ben Tate isolated one-on-one with Barkevious Mingo, who got kind of lost his footing there, and Tate was able to catch a little out to the left and take it into the end zone. But that no huddle, something we have not seen before in Browns camp today. No. It was unveiled, it was debuted, and I think it's something that a lot of teams around the NFL are doing. And if you can get, with the versatility on this offensive side of the ball, given that they can go two tight ends pretty easily and they have guys who can catch the ball with Jordan Cameron, Marquise Gray, Gary Barnage, etc., that you can get in that hurry up and get the defense trapped in a personnel group where you have the advantage. Right. And I thought it was good to see the Browns work on that, because that is something that's in vogue. And it also, if you practice it and are familiar with it, it gives you an opportunity to change your tempos as the game goes on. You can come out slow, then you can speed it up for a second, dial it back down, and allows you to have a lot more flexibility with your tempo and your play calling.
It absolutely does. It's a dimension that every offense has in one form or another. Now, to what extent you use it, I would think that given this team, and we've had people ask us on the show, is it something that the Browns can make as sort of a full-time offense, a regular thing? I don't necessarily see that, especially when, even if you're talking about Brian Hoyer as your starter, a more experienced guy, no matter who's in there, you got a 12-year veteran in Rex Grossman, you still have a fairly young team and a fairly young offense that is coming together, and newer pieces, people trying to kind of just figure out their places as NFL players, and learning each other and learning a system that is new. I think until you know the system cold, and that's not the case as we sit here on August 13th, until you know that system cold, you can't step up the tempo and ask everybody to think more quickly. Again, with Johnny Manziel, it's tough enough just to understand the plays that he's got to call in the huddle. Now, I think he's made progress along those lines. Dow Loggins talked about this, the verbiage, the 17 words or so that each play could, and the max wording, I guess, on most of the plays that he's going to call, versus having a couple or no words in what he dealt with at Texas A&M, that transition is still ongoing. But, and I'd say this too, it wouldn't kill me to see him wear a wristband. I just think at some point, that would, if he's going to be the starter, I would push for that. I would want that, because he should have that as I'm going to use the word security blanket, or the term security blanket, but I think it's a little more than that. I think it's something that helps the efficiency of this offense. Don't you think that would be a good way to go?
It certainly, if it can help him and help this offense, then I don't see any problems with it whatsoever. Tom Brady wears a wristband. Plenty of great quarterbacks in the league wear wristbands. So yes, if that is something that would help him with the verbiage, get the play calls in and out, know that everybody's on the same page, I think it certainly would be a wonderful thing to do for both quarterbacks. Again, they're both Brian Hoyer, while he is a veteran, and Brian Hoyer, while he did play behind Tom Brady, and these things are all wonderful. This is still a new offense for him, and yeah, he even said today that having Rex Grossman here has already helped him understand things. So anything you can do to help put this offense in better positions to succeed, I think are good things to do.
No question. And I think you just want to enhance your chances for success. All right, we are going to have a conversation coming up with the kicker of the Browns, Billy Cundiff, is going to be joining us in a little bit here. And We also want to hear from you, 216-578-0850. It's a hashtag mailbag Wednesday, so use the hashtag mailbag when you do send us your tweets, your comments. We want to hear from you as well. He is Nathan Zagura. I'm Vic Carucci. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, and we're driven by Liberty Ford.